That whole P. Diddy stuff is like the feds went to his house today.
I did see a snippet of that.
Yes.
I am so not following this.
Not me. I just saw it popped up on my Instagram, and I was like, oh, this thing is catching wings. It's going to be crazy for him. Okay.
It's incredible. Why? Like, why? Why, Pity P. Diddy? Why? Why would you do this?
Everyone's stuff is coming out. Like, what the elders say, what you do in the dark will come to the light.
Mm-hmm. I'm finding a whole lot of astrology stuff around it. It's also eclipse, and that's intense astrology. We've got lots of Pluto stuff happening. Pluto switched into Aquarius very recently. It will retrograde for a little bit back into Capricorn. And while it was in Capricorn, it was bringing up like authority things.
Mm-hmm.
That's a new thing that certain aspects are now bumping up against, because once a planet switches signs, and the angles between the other planets change. Or as not even once it switches signs, as it moves through, because it all moves, they all move in a circle.
Yes.
It's all a cycle. But with the eclipse that happened,
I do know it was a full moon last night.
It was.
And they were having that bonfire sound bath thing last night, which I'm not sure if it's a bonfire.
That's the thing we said we were gonna go to.
Yeah, but last time I said I'm not available, but I because I went to Alvin Ailey yesterday.
That's right. Yeah. How was it?
Did you love it? It was nice. It was a great show and performance. It was my first time, so I actually had a great experience. I would definitely go back.
Mm-hmm.
There was a new, what you call that, director?
Director. I was just going to ask. I wonder if they're switched directors again.
There was a new director, and the first director was, he's like hip-hop. He's like...
Where are you trying to go, Snoop?
He is so funny. I'm going to put him in before we really start the show. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Kiki and Kiva Show. And I'm Kiki Monet.
I'm Kiva Siani.
And this is our show. So glad for you guys to come back.
I hope y'all had fun last time.
Yes, we hope you guys really enjoyed the episode. I actually almost listened to it twice, so I definitely enjoyed it.
Really?
Yeah.
How cute.
I love the music. I don't know, it was fun. I was, you know, as I was practicing uploading it, I was listening to it again. I thought we can start with our little check-in and see how we're doing, but I also had a special question.
Oh.
Yes. What is bringing you joy? Today.
This week?
Or anything.
That's a cute question.
Yes, what's bringing you joy? It's important for us to celebrate Black joy and...
joy. I'm leaving at the end on Thursday. Yes. I'm heading to Hawaii.
Oh.
Probably going to bring me a whole lot of joy, especially mm-hmm. once I get there.
Mm-hmm.
This part, the packing part, I don't enjoy very much.
Yes. And is your daughter with her dad for this whole week?
Yes.
Oh, nice. So you're going to be by yourself, or at least not have the responsibility of a 12-year-old.
Right. And I only am working probably about 10 to 12 hours during the trip.
Oh, that's good. So how long are you going to be there?
Thursday to I come back on Monday.
You're going to be so tan.
I hope so. And oh, my gosh.
You're going to be so relaxed. Yes. What do they say? Aloha.
Aloha.
Yes. I am really looking forward to a vacation, so yeah, I'm happy for you.
You're coming up next, though, because you're going to be in Hawaii next month.
Yes, yes.
Which island are you going to?
Kauai.
Kauai.
Yeah, Kauai, because I'm going out there for a wedding. One of my high school friends.
Same.
Oh, yes, that's right. So we had her bachelorette party on Saturday. We went pole dancing and some other things. But that was going to be awesome. My other check-in question for you, one of the things that our pole dancer teacher asked us. But before I go there, what's bringing me joy? The first episode, I talked about freshness.
Sounds like you've had a lot of freshness.
I had a lot of freshness. And I'm feeling amazing. I did so many new things, even the pole dancing class. But I also drove to Fresno for the first time. Today, I cleaned up my house in 30 minutes. Which is like, I say that because I was thinking initially, like, I need to go do new things. But even, like, trying something new, like cleaning up this house in 30 minutes was also something new, because I usually take 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, because I'm like on my computer in between and watching TV, you know, I'm distracted. So I did that, but I also tried new restaurants, tried a new hiking trail. So I was definitely leaning into freshness, and I feel joyful as a result. And I think it also means, like, you know, I've been seeing this meme on Instagram that talks about, like, you're alive, go outside, do something. Tapping into freshness definitely made me feel alive.
I love it.
Yes. And as I say that, I look behind you. It's like aloha. Aloha. I know. From my first trip to Hawaii, I went to actually Maui.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was fun. So I'm looking forward to going back, because my first trip was a good trip, but I was still in the pandemic. And in hindsight, I realized that I wasn't mentally okay when I was there, because I stayed in the hotel, which I probably needed rest. But I was just like, just not secure with my body, which is very unusual. Like, I'm usually wearing baby suits, and I was like very conscious, subconscious about like what the way I look. So in hindsight, I wasn't mentally, emotionally okay, because we were still in the pandemic. But also, traveling for me is a way to do that reset. Mm-hmm. And so even going to Fresno, even though it's work trip, it also helps with a reset. And so I love to travel because it always brings new information and a great reset.
I feel the same way about traveling as a reset.
Yes.
Just to get away. If it's for work, it's fine for me, because that usually means that I don't have the kids with me. And so I can really just do me. Mm-hmm. And part of doing me is performing. Mm-hmm. So I don't mind that. Like, and it's really nice to be able to just focus on my performance instead of switching from mommy mode to makeup mode. Mm-hmm. To dry, like, trying to make sure that I get myself in the headspace.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, I was thinking about you, because I was like, that's such a wonderful job to have, where you, like, it's also your therapy. Because I know you talked about that on the first show, about like how dancing is what you do for self-care.
Yeah.
So that's good. It's good to love what you do, but also for what you do to be part of your healing practice.
Yeah. Healing doesn't happen on stage for me.
Understandable.
Rarely. I think when I was in the strip clubs, it did. Uh-huh. But it was a different... In the clubs, I could be more in the moment. Even in terms of what music I wanted to play, mm-hmm. I could just be like, oh shit, I want to dance to this song. Where did that, whatever popped in mm-hmm. my head? With burlesque, oftentimes my music is set months in advance. Mm-hmm. And by the time I get there, I don't even want to do it anymore. I think I mentioned that before, mm-hmm. in terms of like, you know, BDSM and telling me like, it's not always like that. And sometimes I get really pumped if I add a little something comes into it. But if I don't have that chance to really work it through without being in mommy duty as well, it mm-hmm. kind of fucks me up. I learned that I can't have people ride with me to the show.
Oh, that's good. Because you need your time to get mentally in the space of I'm a performer. Mm-hmm. And if you have people driving and maybe also doing your last minute prep.
And listening to my music over and over, getting it mentally,
emotionally in the role, that people are a distraction. So I can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But on the dance floor, that's all joy. I've not gone dancing in way too long now.
Well, hopefully when you're in Hawaii, you can go dancing.
Ooh, maybe.
Yes. Which island are you going to be at?
I will be on the big island. I'm going to Kona.
Okay. There's definitely going to be a lot of dancing opportunities there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. It might be nice even, well, I don't know if my schedule will permit that. I'll have to do a little bit of research to see if I can pop into a hula or other Polynesian class, mm-hmm. just because my hips are, they miss it.
Yes.
They miss it so much.
Yes. When I took my pole dancing class, I realized that's a lot of work.
Where were you guys?
I went to, there's the Romance Dance Studio, I think. It was
Romance
in Carson.
And Dance.
Yeah, Romance and Dance. They have an Inglewood location, the Carson And then another location. And I actually became a member.
Hey.
I only have 6 classes, but it was only like $30. So I couldn't pass that deal. But it was a lot of work. It's so funny to me because you can be like, I do CrossFit, but it's your body is challenged in so many different ways. Even if you're going hiking, then you do the stairs. Like it just requires
different.
Yes. So it was a lot of work, a lot of fun. And I like that folks say, you know, the pole dancing classes helps you tap into your sensuality, your womanhood. And so that's why I decided to go, because, you know, we're flirting at 40. Flirty at 40. So I need to make sure I have all of that going into my 40s and beyond.
How did you feel?
I don't know if I ever told you this. I don't have rhythm.
What?
I'm a black girl without rhythm.
Oh, you poor baby.
It's something that I'm self-conscious about. When I was in third grade, I used to be dancing freely. Like, school had, like, Cinco de Mayo. They had Black History Month. And, you know, they had different performances. And I was all part of those things. But then I got teased as a kid for not having rhythm. I know. So I say that to say dancing around people I know, I'm more in my head. Even though, you know, the friends that I was with, they definitely know already that I don't have rhythm. But still, it's a me thing versus the people around me. So I think I would have a better time if I'm like in a room with no one knows me. And then it's just me and all these strangers and I can just be present.
You absolutely will.
Yes.
I too have a hard time performing when people I know are in
the room. Yes. I'm surprised you invited your dad.
He didn't invite himself. It's a challenge. I'm fine.
Yes.
It's like doing karaoke.
Yes.
Singing in front of people shakes my bone marrow, but I do it anyway.
Yes. Yes. It was a private party. Mm-hmm. And before we started, the teacher had all these icebreakers. And one of them was like, demonstrate your favorite position.
Fun.
I know. It was fun. But what I realized was, like, I'm more comfortable talking about sex than actually demonstrating.
Well, yes, most people are.
Yes. That brings me to my other check-in question. Like, what is your favorite position?
You started it.
And it's funny, too, because she was like, if someone else demonstrate your favorite position, then you can't do that. So we had to think about different things. And as she goes around in the circle, I have to do your favorite position. I got to do her favorite position. And then I have to do my favorite position.
Oh, that's awesome.
So originally she was called on me first. And I was like, no, why can't she go? And so then she called on her. But it's actually worse that I went last because I had to do all of their positions. But the bride, because she was the last one. And we had to like have these stripper names.
What was your stripper name?
That was my Deep Throat. She gave us like, and she was like, at first I was like, wet kitty, and she's like, no, that's too basic. So she made us keep going. So I had to say each person's stripper name, then do their best position. And if we called each other by our government name, I forgot what we had to do, but we basically got punished. I forgot what was the punishment.
Who was teaching?
I think her name was Candy. And she was talking about burlesque show, because I guess they do
Candace
programming.
Candace Kane.
You know her?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she was talking about burlesque, and I was like, oh, I know somebody that does burlesque. Yes, I'm now on their Instagram, so maybe we'll have some fun activities to go to. Okay, so what's my favorite position? I have a lot of favorite positions, but I think the favorite one that I came up with was when you're like standing up, but you're bent over with your hands on the ground.
With your hands on the ground?
Or floor or something. Floor? Yeah.
You are athletic. Really?
Yeah.
I mean, you had to come up with one so far back. What's your first favorite?
Well, that was the first one, but my friend got to me.
That's your first favorite.
Yeah. Well, that's one of my favorites. Yeah, like, but if I could have figured out how to demonstrate this, my favorite is like when one leg is on the couch. And then you're like, I guess everything bent over is part of the favorites for me. Part of the favorites category. But I couldn't figure out how to demonstrate that and already being like in my head and shy. I had to do someone's on the knees. I had to do her. And then my friend, of course, is like backing it up like it's hot when she's like bent over. And so I had to try to twerk with no rhythm. And then who else? Oh, so it was only like five of us. So I only had to do there too. And then my friend had like cowgirl, the bride. She was cowgirl.
Cowgirl is when just you're on top.
Yes.
So my favorite position, it's a lap dance position.
Oh, okay.
I prefer them sitting up. Yes. I hate when they like slump down.
Uh-huh.
When they slump down in it, I'm like, no, this is not going to work.
Yes.
Sit up.
Do you tell them like that?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
I mean, sometimes I don't say it just like that, but I will.
Okay. But that's good. You tell them what you want, which is important, ladies, that we tell people what they want. And guys, it's important that you tell us what you want.
Please tell us what you want.
Yes, yes, yes.
Them sitting in like a chair or on a couch, up against the headboard, but sitting, and me on top.
That's a good one. I have to try that one. My knees are so bad. Well, not they're bad. It's so uncomfortable. I did that one before. I did. Actually, I think I had my first position.
It's a very good one.
Yeah. Okay.
Because you've got all the control.
Yes.
And you can rock your clit up against their pelvis.
Yes.
Or belly. Sometimes
That's
really nice.
Yeah.
A little belly is a little nice. And you can control how deep it goes and what like the direction, and they can still move.
Yes.
You know.
So actually, I forgot all about that one. But yeah, that's a great position too.
I think I'm partial just because I know what I'm doing in that position.
You know how to, yeah.
Lots of lap dancing.
So what will be your second position since I shared two? Actually, I shared three.
You did. My second favorite position is actually just good old missionary.
Me too. I love missionary.
Here's the thing, dudes. Men.
Dudes, chicks, all the same.
All the same. Well, if you're using any kind of dick, phallus, any kind of phallus, where you are also on top of your lady, or maybe not, even if you're, you know, fucking another dude and you're facing and you're on top of them and they can't hold your weight. They can't breathe. Please pay attention to where your shoulder is, because it's not fun when your shoulder is smashed up against your friggin' face, right?
Yes.
Right. Or like you're going.
That's because you're probably small. I never had that actually. I never had that.
You're not much taller than me.
Yeah, but you're extra. I don't know. You're short, and I date tall guys, and I never had that happen to me. Maybe my guys are a little bit more mindful of that. I don't know. Or maybe if it happened, I just...
This is not all guys.
About it.
I have a nice body count.
Yeah.
But
as
the
you
ones
should.
For the ones that don't know this, you need to know this.
Yes, yes. So don't smother us.
Right. It's not all. There are definitely some. That's why I know there's something different, because there are some that showed me something different.
Yes. So you sound like a woman that would tell guys what you like and what you don't like, which is
absolutely
important. I do the same thing. I think it's important for us to communicate. And I want the guys to communicate to me, because there's not... People find pleasure in so many different ways. So even though you have your favorite move or your favorite way of sucking dick, it could be someone else wants it somewhere, something different.
Right.
So I think it's important for us to communicate. And I also think when I hear stories of maybe very Christian folks, when maybe they like something that their new partner doesn't like, and they don't feel comfortable telling that person. And it might be something as simple as, like, I want doggy style, or some people don't even talk about oral sex. I want this. I want threesomes if that's what you want. Like, people don't even talk about those things. And some people are they're not living their best life because they don't have the comfort or safety to tell their partner what they actually want in the bedroom. And it changes over time, right? So I think we got to constantly communicate about what we want. Looks like you have a juicy story to tell.
Okay.
Tell it.
It's not a story, like not one incident. I dabble in the kink fetish world, so I do foot parties. And I'm reminded of this because it's, you know, I was just in Vegas and I did the foot night in Las Vegas. And then on Saturday night, I just did a foot session. Mm-hmm. Me and this guy were talking about this fact as well. I'm super curious. I ask all the questions. I started doing foot parties maybe 10 years ago. Of all the dudes that I've done sessions with, and I'd say I've done sessions with about 100 or so foot fetishists. 80% of them are married in years and years, 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 years long relationships with women that don't like their feet touched, are too ticklish. And I do not understand how you end up in a marriage with somebody who doesn't like their feet touched. And then this is the saddest thing. There are so many men that say, well, I figured it just wasn't important.
Mm-hmm.
And they think they're not
to say?
Important that they have it.
Oh.
Really? Because you're here paying me $20 mm-hmm. every 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's good money.
Yeah.
They play with your feet?
They play with my feet.
Oh, that's great money.
It is.
That's good money for what you're asked to do.
It's fun. It's fucking interesting.
Yes.
But I just don't understand how they got so far. And I argue that I believe that it's not that their women don't like their feet touched so much as ever since they met them, they probably felt some kind of weird, and they don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's just some weird energy about mm-hmm. them when they touch their feet.
Yeah.
And because they don't say anything, our natural human fear, if something we don't know what it is, we fear it, or we shut down, and we don't even do it consciously, but just like there's a feeling of, I don't know what, he touches my feet in a way that makes it weird. But if they would just tell them, but now you can't, because you've been spending the last 15 years going to foot fetish parties, paying women to let you suck on their toes or even just rub your feet.
It's so interesting because, one, that they are in that relationship, but two, that their partner doesn't compromise, even if they don't love that. Like, can you just...
They don't know. Their partner doesn't know.
Oh, so they're keeping it a secret.
They never even said anything.
Oh, so that's
never
good.
Even... So 80% of them are married.
Okay, they didn't give their partner an opportunity.
Exactly. 80% of them are married.
Oh.
And these are roughish numbers. I haven't written it down. I'd say of those that are married, and I'd say I've seen about 100 fetishes. So now we're down to 80 fetishes.
Mm-hmm.
Of those fetishes that are married,
mm-hmm.
at least 45 of those 80 never said anything to their partner.
Wow.
And then the other of those, the ones that are left that, you know, some didn't mm-hmm. say anything ever, that's them. But then of the other percentage, they said something, their partner reacted weird. But that's only like 5 or to 10 mm-hmm. of them, mm-hmm. of this 100 sample, 5 to 10 that said something and were rejected for it.
Rejection. We're going to talk about that.
Right? And so I'm like... Okay, but why did you then marry her?
Yes.
Because she made me feel like that shouldn't matter.
Yeah. Well, it's the 80-20 rule. Maybe that person had everything else but that 20%, and they thought they can live without it, and maybe they realized that they actually can't.
And they think they're not cheating, but I do think they're cheating.
I think they're cheating, but this could also be more of a reason, more of an argument for polyamory.
Perhaps.
Because then maybe
really
one part.
Me.
Yeah, maybe. I know. And guys, I have dated someone who is in a poly relationship. And we went on one date. When I say dated, I talked to him and went on one date. But I'm by far not interested in it. So you guys might be saying, why is she always bringing it up? But I do, even though I'm not personally interested in it, I understand why people do it. And so in this case, if you have a partner who's not willing to do it once you have communicated that to them, and that's something huge that you need for pleasure, satisfaction, then maybe this is reasons.
It's not the right relationship.
Yeah. Not the right relationship or reasons to have multiple relationships.
Yeah, maybe.
Yes.
Maybe. I like polyamory in its form where everyone can trust that everyone is doing their part to mm-hmm. keep it as open as whatever your agreement is. I just don't trust the other person. And maybe they're not cheating because there's no sex at
these
parties.
No, I think it's cheating. If their spouse or partner don't know that they are engaging in this with someone else outside of the relationship,
it's cheating.
Cheating. Also, it's like financially cheating.
Yeah.
It's emotional. I don't know if it's sexually cheating because you're taking your family money and putting it into your own hobby, which I guess it's okay because everyone has a hobby. So I guess it's okay. But the fact that you're lying, they say if you have to lie, then it is cheating.
Yeah.
If you can't be open and transparent, then it is cheating. But I think we have to be open with what we like, and we have to tell our partner, because they say most people are willing to give you what you need. We just got to ask. And sometimes we're so
scared of asking
for what we want.
It's the rejection, the fear of being rejected.
We're going to talk about rejection. But yeah, it's rejection. It's people might feel weird, shame, and that they don't want to bring it up. So then they live this double life.
Right.
So,
but okay, you can just keep on paying me $20 every 10 minutes at a party. Or
yes. So is it, so what do you do? What do they do? Are they licking your toes, or do you have like a contract? What's your do's and don'ts of these feet parties?
Everyone's do's and don'ts are a little different.
Okay. What's yours?
For the most part, there are some parties, mm-hmm. and I'm sure there's gin, mm-hmm. but the foot night parties, there's no one's supposed to take their genitalia out.
Okay.
I have let guys suck on my toes, okay. but not until, like, not on session one. You mm-hmm. have to start. Mm-hmm. You've got to warm me mm-hmm. up. My first party, actually, mm-hmm. and I think this is what got me hooked. My first party I did in Vegas probably, like, 10 years mm-hmm. ago now. Just for this, I drove mm-hmm. out to Vegas, went in, checked in. At the end of the night, there was this one guy who was like tatted, probably about 32. Mm-hmm. And he just said, I want to do an hour. Mm-hmm. That was a good night.
So I'm like, what is he doing for an hour? Okay, tell me.
He started with like the massaging, mm-hmm. looking at them. Like for me, especially as a dancer, I'm mm-hmm. like, yes. I think anybody the feet. Yes. He was really good. Like he decided to perfect his hobby.
That's good.
By the end of that hour, the last probably 15, 20 minutes of it, he went beyond like just a little bit of licking. Mm-hmm. And then he was deep throating my foot.
Wow. Is he gay or straight, or you don't know?
I don't know. I assumed he was straight, but maybe he's not. Maybe he's bi. I don't know. But I know that he had my foot all the way to my heel in his mouth.
Bless his heart.
And down his throat. And I wiggled my toes a little bit.
Was he gagging?
A little bit, but not really.
Jesus, he got to teach a class. He has to teach a class.
And for me, it wasn't like the feeling isn't the thing for me. Mm-hmm. It's how much like he was so into it, and it's my foot that he's not into.
Yes. So you were turned on by that too.
Yeah,
that's what I was gonna ask you. So yeah, so that's good. So you get pleasure and paid. So that's
I'm not
good.
Generally turned on in these sessions. He was that one was turned on. Nothing has ever happened like that.
Yeah. Again. Would you ever date one of your clients?
No.
Okay.
No, because then I won't get their money anymore.
But yeah, that makes sense. I wonder what happened to Deep Throat.
I actually think that I saw him at this party. It's been 10 years, mm-hmm. so I can't really. And mm-hmm. then his age, 10 years. Yes. But he looked like the guy. He had all the tattoos.
Oh, wow.
And a bunch of the girls knew him.
Wow. I never knew that there was like foot parties, but it all makes sense. Like, I'm sure there's parties for everything. I wonder if there's nipple licking parties.
I've never heard of one.
I love a good nipple lick.
I do too.
I know.
If you're really good at it.
Yeah.
Like some guys don't, you know, good. Like I like not the tip of the mm-hmm, tongue. That's mm-hmm, annoying. Mm-hmm. Like the
back there, yeah.
The broad of the tongue from the bottom up. Ugh.
And then there's some guys who are just so rough with it. I'm like, it is part of my body. You know that. But yeah, it's so interesting. I used to have this guy who pinch it down.
Mm.
I was like,
I'm not into those things. Yeah. They're my nipples are very sensitive. Oh, do not.
Yeah, that's definitely my spot. Yeah, so anything else you wanted to share about your check-in? You seem very light and fresh and energized.
I'm faking it.
You're faking it until you make it.
Yeah. Yes. I'm okay. I don't know. I will admit, I came here not very prepared because I had my day taken away from me. So I'm just here for the ride.
You're just here for the roller coaster. But I'm going to keep you engaged, hopefully.
We did have the eclipse, though. Eclipses are about sweeping away and pulling in mm-hmm. what you need. And they always happen in twos mm-hmm. at 6 months apart. Mm-hmm. 6 months apart. This particular eclipse cycle, the eclipses happen at what's the nodes of the moon, mm-hmm. some astronomy mm-hmm. point. And right now the nodes are in Libra and Aries. So the eclipse that we had last night, it happened, lunar eclipses always happen on the full moon. Mm-hmm. Full moons are points of release. Mm-hmm. And Libra is the point on the south node, which is also a point of release. North node is the thing that you should be moving toward. Mm-hmm. Your personal and your chart north node is going to be different from what it is right now. Mm-hmm. But Libra is also your sign of relationships, balance. So it's interesting that you've been so very much wanting to pull in balance recently, because this eclipse cycle actually started in October with the first Libra solar eclipse, mm-hmm. because the nodes switch signs every year and a half, and they do like a circle and they're opposite of each other. So when the first eclipse to happen in this cycle was with Libra in the solar eclipse in Libra. It's crazy sometimes the way that astrology plays out. The Libra release energy is really about the finding balance, because mm-hmm. Libra is balance, and then beauty and relationships is okay. Libra themes.
Balance, beauty, and relationships.
And relationships.
That sounds like a great season.
But right now we're on the south node, okay. lunar, so you're wanting to extra release any relationship patterns that okay. you think don't serve you
Look
anymore.
Look at God talking to me. Okay.
And bringing yourself back into balance. Mm-hmm. What are the things that you need to take off mm-hmm. of one side in order to create balance?
Okay.
So the next eclipse is going to be solar, mm-hmm. and it's going to happen in Aries at the north node.
Okay. And that's when it's balance, beauty, and relationship.
Aries at the north node. Mm-hmm. No, that's Libra.
Oh, okay.
Beauty relationship. Aries at the north node is self, your passions and your drive.
Nice.
And so you're going to be throwing things onto the scale mm-hmm. in 2 weeks mm-hmm. In order to balance okay. it out. So what has to be taken off, mm-hmm. what has to be put back on, and then mm-hmm. making it sit mm-hmm. even.
So right now we're releasing
yes.
in order to create balance.
Yes, we're releasing in order to create room for the thing that needs to come.
Okay, got it.
And then balance.
Okay. So what are you, last check-in question, what are you releasing?
I am actively releasing my relationship pattern, and this is not just romantic for me. Relationship is all. Mm-hmm. I am actively releasing my relationship pattern where I lay out too many times and give too many chances mm-hmm. and do all the work mm-hmm. for those chances.
That's a great thing to release. I'm going to be cheering you on. Woo! I'm releasing, because when we get into the story of rejection, my unhealthy response was to internalize it. Why am I attracting people who do not see my worth? What is it about me? And so I'm releasing whatever I'm giving out to attract people who are either unable or unwilling to see my worth.
Very good.
Yes, yes. Hey, God, thank you. Thank you for these messages. I think what I'm a practice in this thought of recognizing when I internalize rejection and those feelings of unworthiness, I'm going to give myself acts of kindness, acts of love, to demonstrate to myself that I'm worthy versus looking to someone externally to confirm my worthiness. So that's going to be my challenge for the next 7 days, is to demonstrate my worthiness, but it's going to be through acts of kindness and acts of love to myself.
That's beautiful.
Yes. So
I thought you were doing that already.
Yeah, I'm sure I'm doing it already. But what I love about these challenges, it just makes me be more intentional.
Right.
So then, like, even though the freshness was so easy because I was already doing it, but at least I'm intentional about, like, okay, this is me doing something new versus last week. I had no idea what that question meant, but it was so easy to practice it. And even I was on another challenge where the person was like, you should go out 3 hours a week. And that just made it intentional about, like, who am I meeting, the conversations I'm having, and all these different things. So, and
was that only 3 hours a week?
Well, at least 3 hours.
At least 3 hours a week.
At least, yeah. So it was about being intentional for having social time for at least 3 hours a week.
That sounds enabling for me.
Oh, because you love, you're the complete opposite where that comes easy to you?
If I could just go out and do things feel like doing and meet up with whoever I want to meet, it would be a lovely life. And I,
sometimes
that's all I do. And other times I buckle down.
Yes. This person said it because she was moving from one state to the next.
Ah.
And she went to speak to a feng shui teacher. And that was their advice to her as she's getting acclimated to California. All right, well, I am stalling because our next topic is rejection. You know, I'm a little shy to talk about it. But I do think it's important to talk about because I realize our podcast is our personal journal. For the most part, you guys are navigating our 40s with us. And it's going to be ups, downs, and all between. And so one of the segments that I will be doing, because I am currently single, Kiva, are you single or are you still in a partnership?
I am in a holding pattern.
Okay, so I am single and ready to mingle. So if any hot guys out there, holla at your girl. No, just playing.
not just playing. Absolutely, yes. Please holla. Please holla.
Slide in the DMs. So you'll often hear my dating chronicles, and I'm going to try to be an open book with you guys. Even though it makes me uncomfortable, I'm going to try. And the wine is giving me the liquor courage.
I need a refill.
Yes, here you go.
Do you need a refill?
You can give me a little bit more, yes. So today's Dating Chronicles is about rejection. And we're also going to talk about being rejected, but also being the person that's rejecting someone. And rejection happens in so many different ways. And I think that's enough for me. I think I'm pretty accustomed to rejection. Ooh, Kiva just like topped us off when we just finished a bottle. So if by the end of this episode,
clink, clink.
Cheers to releasing and creating balance.
Releasing and creating balance.
Story time. But story feel free time. To interrupt me, Kiva, because I do better with call and response. So let's see. There was a young man.
How young?
Well, he was old.
How old?
He's older than me, but he's old. There was an older gentleman who I was digging. I met him last year, and I was really interested in getting to know him. When I initially met him, I did not like him. I met him, and it just was kind of like shaky. But then as I got to know this person, I said, oh, he's a decent human being. And some of the things that I did like about him, and because I am a Gemini and I love to communicate, he created a safe space for me to like share. And that was hella attractive to me. And also he appears to have his life together. But I still didn't know him because I just met this guy last year. We're still getting to know each other. So I don't even know like how many siblings he has. So it wasn't like I was ready to get in a relationship with him tomorrow, but there was like this interest in maybe there could be more. But I also like to hang out with guys. So I was also interested in like, maybe there's a friendship and this could be my new like big brother. So I was kind of like stuck in this like, I want to get to know you because maybe you could be my new male friend. But I also is attracted to you. So do you like me? I like you. Like, let's go and do whatever we do. But I also knew in the back of my head that I probably wasn't his physical, like the type he wanted to be with. But so we continued to like communicate and we were getting to know each other. But there was like constant signs of like rejection, at least how I internalized them. And one of them was like, I would ask him, let's do this. And he'd be like, no. And then I take that as rejection. He'll like, we'll be in the middle of a conversation and he just stops replying. Then I'll take that as rejection. And even those were indicators that he was not interested in me because I feel if a person is interested in you, they will be more responsive. They will be more available. So my rational self said, this person just sees you as a friend. But at the end of the day, I'm still interested in getting to know them because I'm building my village. So finally, I decided to tell them that I was interested in them and that I was interested in getting to know them and all that type of stuff. And he said, I never thought of you like that. I just thought of you as a friend.
Mm.
For me, as someone who I don't like to live my life in the gray area, the gray area scares me. I need black and white, which I need to grow through that because life is not black and white. Sometimes you got to be comfortable with the unknown. I still needed him to confirm that to be true because then that puts me in the black and white. So telling him was a huge release. Like even the next morning, I woke up feeling a lot lighter, but also that voice in my head like is, oh, this is just another person who don't see you. Like, why God, why are you keep bringing these people into my life who are not seeing me? Who do I have to be like, you know, this person that people can see and want to date? So like all of those, as I'm driving home, those thoughts are running through my head. And what I like to do when I'm in that moment is, because I'm a why learner, so I need to understand like, what are these? Because actually when I was talking to him, I also told him like, I don't like that you don't respond. I don't like, you know, it makes me sad that you haven't took the time to like spend time with me. And this is like in his head, this is just like his friend telling him. But I remember in our conversation, I was like, oh no, it's not that I'm sad. And he was like, oh, I'm glad you said that. But I didn't have the language in that moment to describe what I'm actually feeling. And so part of me had to interrogate and also be honest, like, what am I actually feeling? If I'm not feeling sadness, what is it? And then that's when I came to, like, I actually feel rejected.
Hmm.
And so I came home and I was like, okay, let me figure out, like, how to overcome rejection. Because I'm seeing I'm going down this spiral that is not necessarily healthy. So let me do a U-turn and figure out what is it. When I was listening to this meditation service, they were like, yeah, people internalize rejection. And I was like, okay, I'm doing that. And then they started talking about like, what are some healthy ways to not internalize rejection? I started like meditating. I picked up my journal. This was all in the night before. And so I actually woke up feeling relieved and like a chapter was closed. So I knew that I did the right thing, but it was still like another person rejected me, which is like, I'm used to dealing with rejection in whether it's, you know, work or whatever. And the reason why I say that is because I'm a person that will go after what I want. And in that sense, I'm an alpha female where I create the life I want. And so if I want a job, if I want this, like I'm going after it. And if you are that person that goes after something, you are used to getting rejected because not everything you want comes to you. I know there's some, I used to have this one coworker, like she would start crying when she gets rejected in the workspace. So I'm not that way, but in some cases, and in this case, I kind of internalize it. That's my story of rejection. We have talked since then. So it's not like our friendship is like wrapped up and thrown away, but I feel relieved that I told this person so they at least know and I'm at least reassured what he thinks and where he's at. And rejection is a part of life, and I think folks should take those chances to get rejected, because I feel like when we talk about like the fullness of life, this is the fullness of life.
Where, absolutely.
Yeah.
In your feeling rejected, what does that do? How or if does your communication change with them after?
I think it now the ball is in my court to manage my expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And also like going back to that question, I think, I don't know if we were talking about this on air or off air, but who people are in their friendship is also who they are in a relationship. And so even though those things I was bringing up, I asked myself, like, Keisha, are you kind of like, were you wanting him to respond to your texts? Do you want him to like spend time with you because you were hoping for more? Or is that what you want for your friend? And I think that's what a friend's supposed to do. And granted, we're still new, so I don't even know if he's a kind person. But it's not like I wanted to be in a relationship with him tomorrow. It was like I wanted us to start getting to know each other in that way. all of this is data, whether we're going to get in a relationship or not, for me to say, like, is this the type of friend I want in my life?
Very well. Mm-hmm. Next question. You said at the beginning you were put off by mm-hmm. him. Why did you work through that?
Because also I recognize that I cut people off fast. And people communicate differently. I think another thing that I have to learn and that I'm and learning is that we can't hold people to our expectations. And so even though I don't like that he doesn't respond to me, that's my stuff that I need to work through. That's not his stuff. There's sometimes where maybe a friend doesn't respond to me, I should not be like, okay, I'm gonna pack up my bags and I'm gonna go home.
Right.
I'm not gonna talk to you anymore.
How long do you think is good for response without acknowledging that you didn't respond? Because sometimes I thought I sent the message and I didn't.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes I saw the message and then got wrapped up in something else. And then when I see it again, sometimes I feel like I've done it where it's months later. Because shit got buried. Yeah. I'm just honest when I come back. Like, hey, I'm sorry. I totally blew it, dropped the ball, whatever. Mm-hmm. Not everybody does this. Sometimes people just kind of try to come like, like, they didn't see your last message.
Yes.
No, you saw that fucking message. I saw you see it.
I think it depends on the relationship. My old friends, like not the ones I'm meeting now. I know that like I can text them. They might go a week. They might text me and I might go a week without responding. I just know our lives are busy and I trust that when they have time, they will get back to me.
It's the trust.
It's the trust. And maybe necessarily when we were building our relationship, maybe that was it. I don't know. Maybe I can't remember that far back to know if that was happening. I'm glad you pointed that out because in the early stages of a friendship, it's like, I can't even trust that you're going to respond. Or maybe this is just a new criteria, new thing I want. I'm noticing that it is like, you know, something that I want, which I never knew because I'm totally okay with a lot of my friends like going weeks without responding. Like, I know you're going to respond to me when you get a chance.
If I didn't respond to you for a week.
So you do respond though. Mm-hmm. So I would be like, what's going on with Kiva? Like even not seeing you in our group chat, I'm like, okay, is Kiva okay? So I think it just depends on the nature of the relationship. And every relationship is different, but I am noticing that recently I like for people to respond. And by me noticing this about myself makes me more responsive to some of my older friends. So like if I usually go like, okay, I'll get back to it. Now I'm like, okay, Keisha, you remember you didn't like that. So you better respond to them. Like, so it's also making me a better friend with my friends that have been around with me for a long time.
All right. So what is the length of time for a new you're interested to maybe become romantic? Okay.
If it's like a romantic relationship, then that's a different thing. I think it depends. Again, it depends on what you guys talked about. Like I have this person that I'm casually dating. I don't care if he responds. Like I don't care if he responds because I know it's just something casual.
You've like that limit has been laid.
That limit before I came to the realization this was casual. Yeah, I'd be like, oh, okay, he haven't responded to me. But once I came to the realization that all I want is something casual with him, then I don't care if he responds. But I did stop talking to this guy because he wasn't responsive. And I'm like, I'm not trying to bring a new person into my life that's not responsive. And he told me at the beginning that he was looking for something serious. And he said that he was on his grown man stuff.
Fair.
So when you see, he didn't say stuff, he said other words. But when you use that language with me, then I have you to different expectations. And so for you to not go a whole weekend without talking to me, I'm assuming that you're not on your grown man stuff. Like you said, I'm one of those people that believe people literally what they say. If you use those language, I'm going to literally think you're going to do that. So that's something I got to work through too. But
no,
I know because that's
no, that's accountability.
Yeah, accountability. So I recently stopped talking to him. It's like I told him because Kiva's teaching me to have grace for people. So I communicated to him that the first time when he disappeared, I said, and we were supposed to do something.
Oh,
and he stopped. He lives in Northern California. He works for the airline company. He was supposed to come out here a Saturday. He said, are you free on Saturday morning? And I said, I have something to do, but it's not finalized. And then he stopped responding. This was either a Thursday or Friday. Then he said something on Sunday. He asked how my weekend was. And I said, should I reply or should I just let it go? Like ghost him. And I said, okay, Kifa is teaching me to be a better communicator. I said something like, follow through is important to me. I noticed that you didn't respond. And of course he tried to be like, I don't know what he said, but it wasn't like a yes, I didn't respond. It was like something else. And so basically I had to tell him my position of why I say that. And I said, you know, I'm for people giving people grace because I know life happens. And then he said, like, yeah, life did happen. His family friend, somebody lost somebody. So I said, okay. Then he did it a second time. And it always happened around the weekend. Mm. His weekend was Thursday and Friday. That's when his communication got kind of like quiet. In my head, I'm thinking, okay, he probably has somebody.
Yeah, because if it's his weekend, then he should be not quiet.
Yes. Well, so the second weekend after our conversation, he said, good morning one day or good afternoon, one of those. And then he went, after I replied, good afternoon, then he went silent.
Mm, he's just dishing for attention. He's just sucking energy.
Yes. So then Saturday, whatever day it was, he goes, good morning, boo. And then at that point, I was like, yeah, I don't think it's going to work. Wish you the best of luck. And then he responded with like a sad face.
You did the best thing.
Yeah, that was it. Going back to what I was saying, like, at this age, I don't feel like I need to teach a person how to act. Like, you should have this figured out. He was also older than me. You should have this figured out. He told me he was on his grooming stuff. So if you ain't showing me, I'm deuces. So
grace is not everybody deserves. Like, some people have shown you their colors. Yes. And now you need to look at who they are.
Yes.
But communicating yourself, I do think, is always something that you should do. Communicating your expectations. My work is to not have to do it too many times. Mm-hmm. I'm going to work on only saying it twice. Because I definitely say it more than three
mm-hmm.
times.
Mm-hmm. Me, it's one time.
I'm a show me, don't tell me person as well.
I'm going to say do both. But if you tell me, I'm going to take your words literally. I met him online and his whole page was like basically telling the woman to come correct. Not in words, but he was basically saying he's looking for something long term and all these different things. And that's the only reason why I like talked to him. And of course, he lived in Oakland. And since I'm back and forth to Oakland, like, I need friends in Oakland. Hello. So and then when I found out he worked in the airline, I was like, oh, bitch.
Oh, that's a treasure chest.
I know. I would have had so much fun. I would have been ripping and running across this country, up and down the state. And I also thought about, like, should I throw him in a casual category? And, you know, just have somebody when I go up north. But I was like, no, because that's not how we started this conversation.
Right. He said what he wanted. Hold him accountable. Yes. You said you wanted something serious.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get in the way of that.
Mm-hmm.
You said you wanted babies. I'm not going to get in the way of that.
Oh, that's good that you're... I got to use that. I'm not going to get in the way of that.
I'm not going to get in the way of that.
I like that language.
You said you wanted someone submissive. I'm not going to get in the way of that.
Talk to me nice and I might give you submissive.
You might.
I will.
I can.
I hope
I can. It's a challenge. It's not that I won't. It's a challenge and you've got to be up for it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I've been taking care of myself and others for a very long time.
And see, that's what that guy up north said. He was like, yeah, I'm looking. I think did he use that language? I'm looking for a submissive. And when we first started talking, I really liked that. Like, I was like, okay, I can feel protected in his arm. Mm-mm. Like, yeah.
Be careful of these men who are talking about they want a submissive. They learn their shit from 50 Shades of Grey.
And Kevin and Samuels, they are not, probably.
And they don't know what they're talking about.
Yes.
Beware.
I know. Well, also, I think for me to be submissive, I need to see that you're leading me in the right direction. I need to see that you have the capacity to do the simple things, like text back. Like, if you say you're going to do something, you follow through. Like, that's just a simple thing. So if you already did not show me that you can do those things, you're not going to get a submissive woman.
How the fuck are you going to lead me? My relationship now, there was a point many months ago, because now it's a situation that's completely changed, where I don't even remember what I was expressing, but his response to me was, it's like, I can't teach you anything. And I was like, okay, you're younger than me.
Which is not necessarily
a deal breaker.
But not in this case either.
But you're younger than me. Mm-hmm. He has the background that he has, mm-hmm. which is cute.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely have a weakness for, like, give me a hood boy who's never left the country.
Yeah, oh, not that part, but yeah.
And
like
I'm
hood
like,
boys.
I can show you the world.
So you like to be the superwoman.
I don't. I don't. But they're cute.
I think you want to save somebody, Kiva. I think you're the superwoman that's looking for someone to save.
No.
Subconsciously.
I do like to be useful.
Hey everyone, this is Kiva. So Kiki and I got a little long-winded on our last recording date. It's taken me a bit longer to edit than I anticipated. I am a single mom, and I was just in Hawaii. However, accountability and consistency are super important to us, so we wanted to remain true to our every 2 weeks timeline. So we were giving you this half this week, and so that we don't leave you on this riveting cliffhanger for too long, I'm going to finish editing this other half of it up and we'll drop it for you next week. We are still only committed to every 2 weeks, but in this case, it's special and we don't want to leave you waiting too long. Thanks for your understanding and your grace. Be well.